So for Friday, let me give you guys a little brief about what's going on Friday. So we have our speakers. We have our materials for the speakers to actually present their ideas with. Matt Rhodes from the John Birch Society is bringing a projector and screen with power, so that way if anybody else needs to use a projector, you've got one. That's awesome. We got all four speakers confirmed, or at least they've been invited. Alu, of course, Exelman, Jordan Cannon from the Connecticut River 8 Project. I'm really interested to see what he has to say, because he hasn't really been on the scene, but he has some ideas, and I wanted to hear him speak. And then, of course, we've got Stephen Villey, also from the foundation, to give his position on the Club 75 Alliance Proclivity for Taxing Income again. And then, of course, Matt Rhodes, and he will be the keynote for Friday. He will be talking about nullification. What I think is important for our speakers is that the audience, everyone is there, but really it's geared towards all of the representatives who are running and who are going to actually be in the House next spring and forming the caucus, provided we get enough of them in. We have our candidate sign-up sheets for signing up door knocking. Those are prepared for people to sign up at the event on Friday as well. People will be able to sign up for door knockers. All of our endorsed candidates for the House are able to get door knockers with the Make Liberty Win pack, with the exception of Paul Terry, Jason Gearhart, and Kristen Jackson. The reason why Paul was not endorsed by them is not necessarily a negative thing. It's more like they just feel very confident in his ability to win, and so they did not give him an endorsement, which of course means funding. So we are going to try and work with some other PACs who have been on a little bit longer than us, who have a little bit more funding and who know where to go and know which neighborhoods to knock, to coordinate with them to send door knockers their way for those three. That's more of an issue for the general election, not necessarily for Friday, but that's still important. Liberty Ballot will generate their ballots in 2 to 3 weeks before the general election. So what wasn't done enough during the primary per Therese Grinnell was that not enough towns were basically drowned in ballots. And as a reason, to show, hey, this is how we're voting, this is the best way to vote for freedom in the state, best for Granite Staters, and think of if we had done that, the areas we had lost, we might have had more wins. That's okay though, we're still on the no Dave, I can't hear you if you're humming. No, I can't. we still have independents on the ballot for the general election. We just got to get all the incumbents at least on across the finish line, and having Brody Deshaies out of the House is a huge win, because who knows how many tens of reps would have voted in support of CACR 32 had he had he not gave that speech. So he's not there to give that speech anymore. So we got enough. If we can get everybody we've endorsed across the finish line, I think we're good. As far as the name of the caucus is concerned, we might be able to create a bigger caucus if we were to call it like a nullification caucus. One thing's for certain, with the situation going on in Eastern Europe, if there is war, I definitely want it to go for the independence caucus. We got to send a better message. If there is war, definitely yes on the independence caucus. Hope there isn't. You can still have an independence caucus without the conflict, but it's just a better message it sends that we don't want to be a part of sending our guys over there anymore. I still have to create my opening remarks on Friday. I've asked all of these speakers on Friday to send me a little bio so I can give them a nice introduction. I'm really looking forward to introducing every single one. I'll be giving some opening remarks as well. Russell, of course, is invited to speak. You guys, okay, good, okay. Russell, of course, is invited to speak. I think we have a really nice lineup for Friday. Following the speakers, that's when I like to actually have, get into what Ian, what you wanted for your vision. Oh, Brian, thank you so much for coming on in. Get into Ian's vision for doing the planning for the next year and how he wanted to arrange the bills. There's lots of different kinds of liberty bills, secessionist bills, nullification bills, and the order in which to discuss. To me, that's like, that needs to be led by one of the reps who's there. Matt Santamestasso has already said that he's going to be there. That portion of that, because it's going to be the people who are actually in, they've spent the few hours listening to different ideas. They've heard Matt Rhodes' nullification speech, and now they have a little bit more information on how they want to proceed with clarity. And that would then, they're the ones who have the courage to run. They're making decisions on which bills to vote on. So I think we got to let them have the floor and kind of bear witness to them as well.
Questions up. Is Mark Borden going to be in the House, given that it's kind of the Porcupine Real Estate Party as well? Do you know if he's going to be there?
I hope so. I've sent him an email invite, and I've told everyone in the emails to RSVP to either Brian or Russell. So, I hope he's there. I just found out that there is a competing Liberty event this Friday as well at 6 p.m. in Stratum. It's the Mises Meet and Greet. I think ours is a little bit bigger, it's heavier, but I have a feeling that we're going to have a lot of people showing up, and I'm actually concerned about overcrowding. Brian, can you give us the basics on how many people can actually fit in the warehouse?
I looked at 100 to be pretty much what I would guess to be max. It's based on parking as well.
Okay, 100 people we can fit? Okay, well, I've asked... Okay, because Kristen Jackson, she's like, okay, I'm going to bring some people. And then Matt Rhodes is like, I'm going to bring some people. And I just sent the people, the Rise New Hampshire, the people who coordinated the event last Saturday, I sent them, like, hey, guys, we had a lot of hands raised in the room. Please resend them this invite. There's been a lot of traffic on all of the on social media regarding the event, and the flyer is going to get published today for it. I think we will, we just need many people RSVP, really, just to have an idea. I'm personally not focused on the food aspect of things. I'm working until 4 p.m. on Friday, so I will be arriving around 5:15 to the warehouse. One thing I wanted to break to you guys, or at least inquire is, so, Russell has stated he wants the business meeting and the presentations to begin at 7 o'clock. So I'm not sure how long everybody wants to speak, but if every speaker, gets an hour of time, I know Alu can talk for like an hour on New Hampshire independence. I'm sure, Stephen's presentation on the Club 75 Alliance is 45 minutes long. I'm not sure what Jordan's is, and everyone's going to want to hear what Matt Rhodes is having to say. But I kind of want to start everything at 6, not 7, because it's going to be a late jam-packed night. What do you guys think, Brian, and the rest of us?
An hour per sounds way too long to keep a crowd paying attention.
That's about my thought, too. If we do speakers, I was looking at probably 5 minutes per person.
Oh, really? You want to get 5 minutes per person?
Well, I wasn't thinking of this as being a speaking event. This is more of a...
primarily a networking event. For instance, if you followed like a similar format to what we did over the weekend at Swansea, we probably gave about 5 minutes to folks, and there was networking immediately after that. Obviously, networking is going to be happening beforehand at this event because the thing starts at 4. So, you don't have to follow that, but I would say, 5 minute, maybe too short for a proper presentation, but I wouldn't go for longer than 15 or 20, given that people's attention spans are going to be waning and people probably will be drinking, I would imagine, at this event as well. So I don't know.
Okay. I personally am not, I know Russell is right by Brian. I know that yes, as far as the refreshments and hors d'oeuvres are concerned, that is under Russell's wheelhouse for sure. Right now, I'm just trying to, I guess I can reach out with him about that. He was talking in our NIPAC chat earlier today. I really wish he was here. Okay, but I see what you're saying about using that as a model. Might be a little bit easier that way too. I wasn't sure how much of a conference feel this would be, but considering that we're doing this basically on 2 weeks of planning, that's not a bad way to reframe it. I'm really actually 20 minutes per person, then maybe the keynote gets a little bit longer.
I would say they could have up to 20 minutes, but encourage the shorter the better. Also, I really like what they did at the event over the weekend, which was they had name tag. I think a lot of Free State events fail at this, and it's just such a basic thing that just helps so much with people who, most people have a difficult time remembering names, and being able to just say, oh, hey, Josh, or whatever, it makes it a lot easier to break the ice or, speak again to someone who you've already spoken with but forgot their name, that kind of thing. But they also went the extra mile, and they had a second name tag that said, ask me about.
Yep.
And the attendee could write whatever things that they were kind of like interested in or about. So I really thought that was a cool thing, because allows you to get right into the conversation that person is there to have. And I thought that was, seemed like such an obvious thing, but I've never seen that done before. And I liked it.
Okay. Well, I guess, I guess I don't know what more to discuss. Okay, I guess, 20 minutes per person, yeah, that's actually fine. And I do want to give the keynote a little bit longer. Maybe like 45 for him.
Yeah, I'm thinking that keynote is going to be 20, and then the rest are probably going to be 5.
Okay, that's what you would. Okay.
If everyone gets there, it's going to be.
Host rule. Hey, I like it. Makes things a little bit easier.
Who's the keynote?
It's going to be Matt Rhodes from the John Birch Society.
Is that guy that was at the. I don't know if you were there. Was he at.
So we spoke on the phone this past Saturday. Yeah, he was at the Ballot Law Commission event.
Okay, yeah, I met him there. Cool.
And he was also hosting a Constitution class for about 2 months this past July. Q&A after each one.
Well, so far this has been pitched as a very. I talked to Russell about this.
Say again, Brian.
Being a publicly one of the table setup.
Say that again. I feel like we're missing some words here.
Yeah, you're definitely cutting out.
It said sorry, and then nothing else came through. Are you on a cell phone signal right now?
Well,
or Wi-Fi. Oh yeah, I see bad connection. It's not showing. Bandwidth mode that may be of assistance. Usually is an option when you first connect to the room. I'll send him a message if he's available.
Okay, I just hit him up on Signal.
No, what's going on now? Yeah. It does not appear anybody is actually talking now at the moment. Nobody's talking at the moment.
Any other news that's going on while we wait on and see what Russell's up to? I know Ridley was referring to the Washington Post article. I think that's the one where it was like an opinion piece that said people should be allowed to talk about secession, and it mentioned the ballot law commission. So it was arguing that the discussion should not be stopped, and so we did.
Oh yeah, that's actually it. Yeah. Okay. That was just the other day.
Bonnie, go ahead.
Oh, so I went to time I was there with the lady, Katie something, with a P, who beat Brody Deshays in the primary. And when I realized who she was, I was like, oh, you beat Brody Deshays in the primary. That's awesome. I'm so glad. And she's like, how did you know him? Did you go to high school with him or something? And I just told her that I support independence, and he was like a really bad guy against independence or whatever. And she was just like, you know, she talked to me for a while. And right before she left, I was like telling her bye. And she was like, just so you know, I told all Lou, I'm not like 100% on secession, but you know what, with the way things are. That's all. I thought it was pretty good. She was like excited to have met me and stuff, and she just wanted to let me know she's not 100% on secession, but with the way things are going, you never know.
I think I'm on a better connection now if you need me to repeat anything that didn't come through.
I'm good so far.
I did see what you had shared in the chat regarding, you know, it's the free Weir weekend.
Yep.
Okay, maybe we could bill it as like the, you know, the New Hampshire Independence Summit, you know, kicking off the free Weir weekend or something like that. Just an idea.
I still trying to make my mind up on where the focus should be or how to bill it, because if you sell it as a weekend with multiple different things going on and then have it 3 hours of NHI, then you missold the event. So I'm just trying to figure out what to bill it as. What do you guys think? I mean, would it be better to get more people in there than less speeches, or less people and more speeches?
More people, less speeches.
Yeah, definitely more people.
To me, this is about getting people who, specifically independence people, to talk to one another, specifically getting reps together, hopefully, to talk to one another. The original idea behind this event was to kind of ape what the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance does every year, where they have a summit and they invite their legislators together. And I think Matt Santanastasso told us there's usually a few dozen folks that attend these. So, I mean, if we can hit 50, we're probably on par with what they've been doing.
And okay.
That's really optimistic. But I don't know. I mean, this could be really big because of the whole real estate aspect of it. So I think just making it more of a general networking event with some brief speeches about independence, I think would be,
That seems to be spot on to me.
Okay. I like that idea too. And there's other, like Pine Tree Radio Society, for example. So Jack would probably do like a 5-minute pitch there. And for example, you don't really want that going on for an hour about radios when everybody's there for, you know, whatever else.
Sure.
Independent, whatever.
The theme of independence, right? The whole idea of the Pine Tree Radio Society is to be independent from a grid, right?
Yeah.
Independent communications.
Yes. Yep. So independence is a great theme, but it's more than just state independence from the federal. Cool.
Sure.
Yeah, and I don't know that one. I just saw that one Mises event going on. It's probably about a half an hour from me, but
Derek said it's been that's actually been planned for 2 months now. But,
oh really?
Yeah, so it's okay. It's you know, we'll get the people who want to show up will be there, and you know, I wasn't kidding when I was like worried about having so many people show up at the building that we can have.
Yeah, but they got a hot tub, so I'm thinking about going to that one. It's hard to compete with that.
Hot tub filled with libertarian dudes.
I'm gonna have to go to that one.
So did you get to see the link that I sent out with the invite?
Where was that? In the chat?
I think it made it to Matrix.
Oh, okay. I'll take a look. The events .freeware?
Yeah, yep.
Is that what we should share around?
That would probably be best, and it does have a RSVP if you want to encourage that.
I did RSVP already.
Oh, cool. At least we have an idea.
So, okay, so that's the main event. Can I, as NYPAC chair, can I say, hey, do we have this independent summit happening at the freeware event? Like, we'll be at the freeware event. This will be happening.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Chance last week. I suspect barely anyone was last week because Penguin and I and others were at the wedding with Bonnie and such. So I suspect our attendance would be light. I don't know if there was much discussion of the event that transpired here in Swansea, but it was very, very good. I heard Matt mention it earlier. I kind of briefly mentioned some of the things I really liked about it. I thought they did a great job. For those that are unaware, what are they called? New Hampshire, Rise Up New Hampshire, which was formed here in Cheshire County by people who are not Free Staters. It was locals and, you know, other folks who cared about being independent from government mandates and masks and vaccines and things like that. And they were doing advertising in the local weekly newspaper here, and those in the area. So they've been a very effective group at kind of reaching out to people on the issue of freedoms lost during COVID. And so they have the idea of, let's get different groups.
All right, Russell, we'll be calling in a second.
Cool. Yeah, I'm just kind of giving people a rundown on what happened last weekend. So their idea was, well, let's reach out to We the People and Free State Project and Health New Hampshire and, you know, NHXit and, you know, all these different somewhat related, but not necessarily connected groups.
I actually can't hear you, Ian. I don't know what's going on. Oh, wait.
Is anybody else having that difficult?
Okay, that's better.
You're a little bit hard. You're a little bit hard to hear, Ian.
Oh, okay.
Russell should be dialing in just a moment.
Is this any better?
Yeah.
Okay. So the idea behind this event was to get different groups together from across New Hampshire, from We the People, the State Project, to Health Freedom New Hampshire, etc., and get them all in the same room and have them network with one another, you know, maybe for the first time in many cases. And of course, they all brought people that they knew, and it ended up being a tremendously successful event with over 160, I believe, 7 tickets sold. So it wasn't just you could walk in the door, you had to pay $10. So the thing basically was a sellout. It was pretty much almost standing room only. Like, most of the seats, the supermajority of them were filled, and there were people, you know, standing in the back. Very well attended. People came from as far away as the seacoast to attend this thing, and I just thought it was a really well done event. I think they're going to start doing more of these events, so I will definitely, I'm on their email list, and I will keep you guys, you know, abreast of any events that are happening. We Matt was there, Russell was there, I was there, Bonnie was there, so we had a good independence crew. Matt Santonastas was there, representing table. So a good event. I got to speak, and you know, of course, I'm representing NHXit. And my first thing that I did before I started speaking was I wanted to take a poll of the room. So I asked the question: how many people here? And I was really pleased when nearly every hand in the room went up. And then just to further put the point forward, I said, how many of you want to stay with the federal government? And I don't I'm not exaggerating, only one dude slowly raised his hand, and so it was much better than I expected. I was thinking maybe it'd be like half and half of the room would be in there, but no, it was 99% in favor of independent nation for New Hampshire. So really ripe crowd for our message. And like I said, that was before I even talked on the topic. So big win on at that event.
So Russell has joined the chat. I must look like a number.
Yep, welcome.
What did you guys wanted to ask me? Back on the Friday thing?
Yeah, we were talking about how the event would be set up and what we'd be doing at what times and speakers and things like that. I was saying it's basically we'll have it will go all night, but I was thinking speakers between like 6 and 7, something like that. And then the rest is networking and table set up and things like that.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'll be there a little bit after 5 p.m. I'm working until 4 that day.
Okay, sounds good. So if we started the speakers at 4.
Say again, 6?
Yeah, 6 sounds good to me.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, then I think, yeah, because that'll leave more time in the evening for sure. You know, I know when Ian originally mentioned this, you know, a couple months back, and I know, you know, with the primaries and all that, my focus had been on the primaries, but I wasn't sure what the format of this would be, if it would be a complete conference or, but I think we'll, I kind of thought in my mind it'd be almost like a conference, I think this is going to be a good, either way, I think, because, you know, it doesn't, we want to let the reps do what they feel comfortable doing. I guess I got to say it like that.
Yeah, because you're wanting to have some speeches and then have some time for the guys to organize and have your ideas and see what they want to do and stuff like that. Brian, what's the setup for tables and chairs?
So I've got, a dozen table and about 80 chairs in the barn.
Oh, awesome.
And plan on using...
That'll be great.
Plan on having about 6 of the tables set up with different vendors. Different local area vendors.
Okay, cool.
And then the chairs, I do have, like, speaking area and then chairs for that, or... I don't know what the weather's going to be like, but it could be, half of this could be outside.
Yeah. That sounds good. What was the problem you were talking about, Matt C? For conflicting with something else?
There's a Mises event happening this Friday at 6 o'clock as well. I wish Derek had informed us a little bit sooner when we were talking about that.
That's just the nature of being in a big movement. I mean, there's always going to be something conflicting.
I actually think we're going to be okay with size and the amount of people being there and being able to park and not being too loud on the inside, or, you know, everyone will be able to talk where they want to talk to. And
where is happening?
The other one is in Stratham, which is out by Exeter.
Is that the Seacoast?
Yeah. It's about halfway to the Seacoast from Manchester.
Yeah, so that's going to...
And Ian and I do everything. Is that in Keene or not in Keene?
That's good. That it's not really a direct competition. I mean, the people out there... likely to attend that, and then we'll probably pull some from that. If they know what's going on. I mean, it's maybe for Mises people only. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I didn't see that on any of the calendars I checked, so that's why.
If we're on the calendar, we'll get more eyeballs.
I did put this on the FSP calendar yesterday or the day before. But then the other one, I think, just showed up this morning. But it was, still then, there was pretty much a calendar. But still, I don't think it's a direct conflict, and splitting people isn't a bad thing anymore.
Yeah, well, plus now it's too late, so.
Yeah, and that.
everything that I'm hearing so far sounds like everything will work out. It just might be how long it'll last, Matt, and how much organizing you wanted to do, and how many speeches you wanted to do, or if anybody's going to listen to the speeches. But I think we're going to be able to work it all out.
Yeah, well, I think we have enough speakers. We have just the right amount for what we want to do. We're going to do, you know, the three openers are going to be about 5 minutes each. Now our keynote, Matt Rhodes, he'll be speaking for about 20 minutes.
is Matt speaking about?
Nullification. He is a member. He's from the John Birch Society.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think we have one of those. But I also have the problem of, you know, after the secession, we might have to have a split between the seacoast and Eve. We might to split the country. It might be too big.
I love the idea.
Things that we still gotta grab Friday. I'm collecting to. I mean, unless you don't want to, I mean, I guess that's fine.
I don't need to. We have plenty of people.
Okay. So Brian and Russell, should NIPAC make flyers for this separately, or just kind of leave it as it is?
On the audience who want to target, but I'm thinking keep it an event that Independence is going to be represented at type of branding. That's you guys tell me. I've got basically a bunch of people in Ware that I could invite, but they're a bunch of Republicans and fairly Independence. Related, so I could either pitch it to a bunch of local people, or we pitch it to the Independence group.
I think have it, you know, people that, this is Bonnie, by the way, people that haven't already heard us talk about it all the time. And I think Republicans are a good group of people we need to get it out to.
Yeah, that sounds like a way better idea than trying to focus on people who already have heard about it.
That was my thought. I just don't want to bring a bunch of people in under false pretense and then force Independence down their throat. So we, as long as we keep that in mind and cater it more towards, all right, you know, you guys can speak on Independence for 5 minutes or speak on radios for 5 minutes, you speak on whatever else, nullification for 5 minutes. I want to pitch it as a, because I also plan on doing something like this every Friday. So keep that in mind as well, where this isn't a focused event. This isn't a Republican event that all the Republicans get together and talk to themselves, because we've got 100 of those. So this was more of a open community building, networking, across party lines, across, you know, town lines and all that. Where Independence is one of the topics, similar to the Rise Up. Like, Rise Up wasn't an Independence event.
Correct, yeah.
I think that we'll have time at the end, you know, to do some of our planning and scheming, Matt, and then that can just be however many people want to gather together to do that, and we won't be bothering the rest of the party, you know. That should work.
Okay, yeah.
And like I offered before, too, I have not advertised this yet because I wanted to talk to you guys first, so we could go either way. I just think everybody on the call agreed that it'd be better to have more people and less focused on an Independence conference. I don't want to be the one dictating if that's not the one.
Letting us have a couple of our guys say something to, like, the whole crowd, depending on how that goes. I don't even know how many people will be listening or what, or how it's going to work. And then also, with us, we're just doing our summit. This is just a place for us to gather. It could have been a restaurant. It could have been anything. And then we'll be able to gather and talk. But we won't be bothering anybody else when we're doing that, because the whole crowd doesn't want to hear about all the specifics of guys want to do legislatively. You know, that's not even interesting to anybody else, you know.
Is there, like, a separate room away from, like, the main area?
Actually, I was just going to mention that. I do have a private conference room that seats about 15 people.
Okay.
then what if we just had the entire thing, all of our speakers, in there?
Yeah, that'd be possible. I also didn't know how it would be set up and what was going to be, and how many people would be hearing what we're talking about, or whether some stuff would be happening outside, inside. You know, I don't know about that kind of stuff.
Or we could do the speak. Okay, I mean, or maybe if there's too many people that show up, we could do the speakers in the main room, and then just in the discussion, we actually go into that conference room after the fact.
Yeah, I don't think
makes a lot of sense.
Main room. To have speeches in the main room, we should have 5-minute speeches or whatever there. And if there needs to be more quiet for a more focused discussion, then it could probably go into that other room.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that idea. Yeah, conference room will be open, so even if you guys all just wanted to meet in there before the speeches or whatever, put all your stuff in there. So that could work out good, I think. Not if you want to meet after and talk about legislation and all that. I wasn't even thinking about that before, but that definitely will help. Adjust to whatever.
Russell, I don't know if you had a bad signal there. I had trouble out probably about 25% or so of the words that you were saying.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah. I can hear you fine.
I was able to hear you before, I think, so I'm not sure why Ian's unable to hear you.
It's part of my job to keep down you.
jokes here. Or maybe
it's because you guys are young guys, so you guys are my whipping boys.
Alright, cool. Well, good meeting today. I feel like we've accomplished that.
Yeah, and Brian, do you feel like you understand what's going on and there's no problems or anything like that?
Yeah, I think we're all pretty much on the same page.
And just call me if you have any questions.
Okay.
You'll call or text me, and if you have anything that comes up, and I'll talk to the PAC guys and stuff like that.
All right. So I'll make like a draft idea for a flyer, and I'll make sure I send it to both Brian and Russell for you guys to look and review. See if it sounds good and we're not like misrepresenting anything about what's going on. When you guys, you know, think it's good, it's like we'll post it and shit.
For me, whatever is okay for you and Brian is fine.
Okay. Brian, I'll send you a draft.
That sounds good.
Alright, cool.
When are you guys going to have that flyer done? Any idea? Because you're running out of time here.
Yeah, I'm going to work on that when we finish.
Okay.
Brian just sent you a text and signal.
Perfect.
Thanks a lot, Russell. Thanks for coming on in.
All right,
have a great day, everybody.
See you, everybody.